The recession is dead. Long live the recession.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. Welcome to the Morning Open, when we check in on business and the economy just as Wall Street is beginning its trading day. The government said something this morning it hasn't uttered in more than a year. The U.S. economy grew last quarter, and by more than expected. The question is, so what? We're going to answer that after we answer this. Where's Wall Street? The S&P 500 and the NASDAQ are up about 0.7% this morning, with the Dow up 54 points. It's at 9,817. European markets have reversed their drop, and they're higher now by about 1%. Asian stocks didn't hear the news. They slid again today by another 2%. Now, for the morning's top story, let's say hello to Chief Economist Diane Swonk at Mesirow Financial, joining us live from Chicago. Morning, Diane.
Hi, really live. Sorry about the background noise. Yes, we had a positive GDP growth this quarter, almost half of which came from the Cash for Clunkers program and the bounce back in vehicle sales and production that we saw in the third quarter.
Yeah, so what happens when that stops, Diane?
Well, that's the real question. We will see some carryover strength into the fourth quarter. The real issue, though, is jobs. And we've seen small businesses in particular really hold back and hoard their cash because they're not getting access to the credit they once did, mostly through home equity lines of credit and consumer credit, to be able to feel comfortable to hire even if their businesses start kicking off.
Yes, Diane, as you say, it's about jobs, and 530,000 people filed a first-time unemployment claim last week. The government said that earlier this morning. Really, when is economic growth going to mean jobs?
You know, I think we will see some sort of trickle of jobs by December and January, but that is really the underlying word, trickle. It's going to be very hard to see major job gains. And for people out there to understand a benchmark, we need to see those unemployment claims drop to 450,000, almost 100,000 below where they are today, before we see actually any job generation out there. The only good news was that the number of people still on unemployment insurance actually dropped, which could mean some people are actually getting jobs, especially since we have extended unemployment insurance, so it's not just people falling off the side of the cliff.
Okay, Diane Swonk at Mesirow Financial, we appreciate it.
Thank you.
And until those jobs come back, Congress keeps on extending unemployment benefits that would otherwise run out. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman says lawmakers are looking at doing it again.
Under the Senate bill, unemployed workers would get up to 20 additional weeks of unemployment checks, and Congress would pay the $2.5 billion price tag by renewing a tax on employers. It amounts to $14 a year per worker, says Judy Conte of the National Employment Law Project.
It is not a new tax, and it is quite minimal considering the stimulative effect all of these unemployment benefits going out to people who will immediately spend them on the necessities of life.
Employer groups aren't against more benefits. They just don't want to pay for them. State Chambers of Commerce sent a letter to the Senate that says funding the extension with an employer tax will stifle job growth. Norm Isatolo of Michigan's unemployment agency says another extension is worth the cost.
We estimate that about 100,000 jobless workers in the state who have exhausted their benefits will qualify.
And with Michigan's unemployment rate over 15%, those workers aren't likely to find another source of income anytime soon. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Corporate news this morning, ExxonMobil profits dropped about 65% last quarter. Procter & Gamble sees a better sales outlook, though, for the rest of the year. And Nintendo says its profits were cut in half. Seems the Wii video game's not quite as hot now, as Marketplace's Ashley Milne-Tite reports.
Nintendo's rivals have been closing in. Michael Gartenberg is with Interpret, a technology market research firm. He says Microsoft and Sony are adding all sorts of functions to their devices.
So, for example, Microsoft's Xbox now does things like Twitter. It does things like Netflix, so I can stream movies directly from that.
He says in a down economy, consumers are more likely to look at game consoles and ask what else they can do. He says Nintendo needs to gear up on the marketing front for the holidays, and it has to convince consumers the core gaming experience alone is worth paying for. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, offering the ability to manage money, credit, and loans all in one place, LendingTree.com. and by CSX, working to reduce traffic and pollution while moving 750,000 tons of freight daily. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
If you want a ticket to tonight's Game 2 of the World Series in the Bronx, it'll cost you some hundreds of dollars. Yet, if you watch a typical regular season game, you'll see giant patches of empty seats. A Texas company is marketing software to help teams sell tickets at the prices fans are willing to pay. Barry Kahn is the co-founder of QQ. Good morning.
Thanks for having me, Bill.
What is the pricing problem that your software goes after?
Well, I think for years, and I guess probably forever, tickets haven't been accurately priced. You know, you've got times where tickets are going to be resold for 2, 3, 10 times face value. And then for every ticket that gets resold, you're looking at 4 tickets that never get sold. And a lot of that problem is because tickets are priced, you know, 9 to 12 months before a game.
So games shouldn't all cost the same amount.
No, I mean, the same reason that when you look at the schedule, you don't value every game the same. You choose to go to one game versus another. And, you know, we're helping the teams kind of reflect that in prices.
So the San Francisco Giants hired you last spring to handle the pricing for about 2,000 seats in their park. And what happened differently when you worked with them?
I mean, I think you saw a lot of games changing price that you wouldn't have expected at the beginning of the year. You know, great example being the Colorado Rockies. The Rockies aren't a big rival for the Giants. It's generally not a very popular opponent. But when you started looking down the stretch, the Rockies were leading the wild card. The Giants were a game or two behind. And that became a really popular series.
Barry Kahn is the founder of QQ. And Barry, we appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me, Bill.
And finally, police say a Texas store clerk told a customer his lottery ticket was worth $2 and then took the ticket, which was actually worth $1 million, cashed it in and disappeared. The customer says the lottery commission should have been suspicious when one of its own agents claimed the prize. The commission so far has paid the buyer nothing. This is Marketplace Morning Report. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.